This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Ken Bernstein is the editor at bluecommonwealth.com. He's a public school teacher and a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership. He joins me on the long line to tell us about his experience this past weekend with RAM. And Ken, that is Remote Area Medical. It's online at ramusa.org. What exactly is this?
Okay. Hi, Coy. It's Stan Brock, who was the host of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, got this idea because of some of his earlier experiences when he spent about a decade living in a remote part of the Amazon bases with some Native Americans where they were a 26-day walk from any medical help. He survived a number of diseases and attacks by animals, but other people didn't. And he eventually got the idea that there were places around the world, originally started around the world, and then also in the United States, that were very badly underserved in terms of medical. It's all volunteer doctors, dentists, ophthalmologists, even veterinarians in some cases. Some cases will even parachute them into remote places around the world to try to give service. He had started to do this in the United States, and he was approached by two nuns who had a van that they were going around serving the Appalachian parts of Virginia trying to help. And perhaps his most famous location in the United States, is in Wise County. And they come there, this was the 10th year, where they come to the Wise County Fairgrounds for a weekend to serve people. And it is, all I can say is, it is a life-changing experience to be there and to participate in it.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein, who was in Wise County this past weekend for RAM. And, of course, a lot of folks, Ken, from the Charlottesville area, from the University of Virginia Medical Center, volunteer to participate in this event. Is it an annual event?
This one is annual. This was the 10th consecutive year for the last weekend in July. They start setting up on Thursday. Theoretically, they're open all day Friday, all day Saturday, and the morning on Sunday. But by Tuesday, people were already showing up to camp out to get served.
Holy cow. So this is, yeah.
And they actually had to start giving services, particularly dental services, to people on Thursday evening because the demand was so huge.
Amazing. So this is, the historic Appalachia part of Virginia. Arguably, most folks down there don't have regular medical care, certainly don't have health insurance. Tell me what you saw as one of the volunteers who was down there.
The first thing to note is that the people who were providing the services tried very, very hard to see each person as a person, to deal with them as their needs, even though the needs may be critical. The second thing is the shock of what one was seeing. Now, I was volunteering at dental, as that's through our classes at Sorensen arranged to do with the Virginia, I guess it's the Dental Association's Foundation. They're co-sponsors of this, and they're actually at this one more people for dental than there are for medical, because even if you have health insurance, you rarely have dental insurance, and the underserved dental needs are incredible. I was in the triage section, so I saw everything that was coming through, working with the dentist. And you saw people showing up in pain, wanting all their teeth pulled, or some trying to choose, because we did not have time to do both, whether trying to save some teeth in front to still have a smile, or pull the teeth in back so that they wouldn't be in so much pain. You saw people who did the best that they could, but had not even seen a dentist for a cleaning in 5 years.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein, and of course you mentioned the fact that your volunteer efforts were coordinated with fellow class members and some folks at the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership, and this idea came from your class. Folks wanted to volunteer and go down there, and many of you did.
Yeah, two of our classmates, one who at the time had been Assistant Secretary for Health for the Commonwealth and is now in Mark Warner's office, and another who had been a political aide to Brian Moran, were both there last year and offered it as a suggestion. About a third of our class showed up for at least part of it, and two of your fellow staffers from Sorensen Institute were helping register people starting at 5:30 on Friday morning, from what I understand.
Goodness gracious.
And it was a way of giving something back to the Commonwealth. Now, it's important to note that while this is in the heart of the Appalachian part of Virginia, we had a lot of people who showed up from other states, including, according to Stan Brock, two people who came from Florida, because it was cheaper for them to fly as far as they could from Florida and then hitchhike their way in than it was to pay for the equivalent dental services in Florida.
Amazing. So, Ken, you mentioned that this was a life-changing experience. How so? I mean, how did this experience touch you?
I thought I was prepared for this. I had written about this, having seen a thing in the Washington Post magazine and having read about it online. But it is something completely incredible to see this level of need. It's about a seven-hour drive, six-and-a-half-hour drive from my house. This is in the Commonwealth of Virginia. This is in the United States, which is a very rich country, even with all of our current economic problems. Perhaps the best way I can describe this is to use an expression, if you'll forgive me, from Joseph Stalin, who once said, "The death of millions is a statistic. The death of a single person is a tragedy." This was to go in and to see meaningfully in person after person after person what it means not to have access to basic health care, basic dental care, basic nutrition, basic things that you and I take for granted growing up in a middle-class environment.
You saw person after person after person who didn't have these things.
Who did not have these things. The one that probably hit me most profoundly was a woman that we saw on Sunday who had shown up. She had had a tumor in her mouth for 7 years, and it had started to grow. She had never been able to afford to do anything, and she was now at risk at her jaw locking up or losing all of her teeth. And that's probably not the kind of thing that should be addressed in the kind of circumstances where we were, but they found an oral surgeon willing to do it.
Amazing.
But you'll hear some emotion in my voice. I am both angry and frustrated that this exists in our country and that people don't grasp this in the debates about health care policy and about nutrition policy. At the same time, I am overwhelmed by what I saw of the people volunteering. I saw dentists in their 60s who have been president of the Dental Association of Virginia standing on their feet for hour after hour after hour. I was doing the paperwork for them so that they could see more people, to get more people through, to get more people to get at least some help while they were there.
We're talking about remote area medical. You can learn more online at ramusa.org. We're talking with Ken Bernstein. He's a public school teacher and a well-known blogger, national political blogger, and he's the editor of BlueCommonwealth.com. He was one of the many volunteers this past weekend in Wise County where RAM was giving service to what I imagine, Ken, were thousands of people.
We probably processed, I don't know the actual figures, and we'll eventually get that. We probably processed in the days someplace over 3,000, maybe as many as 4,000 people. I do know not everybody was there for extraction. Some were for medical. Some were just getting cleanings. I know they extracted well over 4,000 teeth.
Oh, my Lord. So, Ken, how does this experience fit into the national debate going on now about health care? What are your thoughts as you're driving home those 7 hours about how this fits into to that puzzle that we all face as Americans about health care?
Well, one thing to recognize is that the next big event that they're going to do is going to be for a week at the Forum in Los Angeles. That is because the issue is just as great in urban areas, and part of the reason is we have a health care system that is based on employment. If you are unemployed or unemployable, you do not necessarily have health care. You can get some through Medicaid, but states are broke as far as their ability to provide stuff through Medicaid to be able to take care of things. Even if you have employer-based health care, it often does not include dental, or if it includes dental, it's very limited in what it includes. And that the situation is that as long ago, we can go way back to Teddy Roosevelt, who made an issue about health care. Franklin Roosevelt made an issue. Harry Truman made an issue. We have not addressed it, and we do not view it as being a right that should be guaranteed to all of our citizens, even though John Locke, in his original formulation of natural rights included health as one of the national rights. His was life, liberty, health, and happiness, basically. Health and property, excuse me. Also, you cannot just do health care in isolation. This is a case where a great deal of it has to do with nutrition, with understanding. One of the reasons for such of the problems that you see with teeth in Appalachia is because of the large amounts of Mountain Dew that are consumed. It is heavily caffeinated. People will drink 12, 16, 18 bottles a day, and what they're doing is bathing their teeth in sugar. You also have a high degree of usage of tobacco products, which does not help. It also does not help if you're in an area, which could be in rural areas now as well as in urban areas, with drugs, particularly with methamphetamine. That has a huge impact on things like dental health. We exacerbate this, and I know that this is now being addressed. If you go into most schools, you will see all kinds of soda machines as fundraisers, so that the kids are getting addicted to drinks made with high fructose corn syrup, and that is having an effect on health as well. I do not think, for all of our discussion about health insurance, which we still can't seem to get by, that we have addressed the issue that this is a national security issue, the health of the American people and the loss of productivity we get. I know as a school teacher, if I've got a kid with toothache or an empty belly, he is not going to learn. What does it say when you have large numbers of people in this country whose health is such that they cannot be fully functional, who, if they need medical care, they have no way of getting it? If you're in parts of the rural United States, there is no public transportation. If you don't have a job, how do you get anyplace? Some of these people hitchhiked, or they would cram a batch of people into one car and sleep in the car on the grounds for 3 days to get services.
Amazing. Ken Bernstein is the editor at BlueCommonwealth.com. He's also a well-known national political blogger. He blogs under the name Teacher Ken. He's a public school teacher, and he was one of the volunteers at the RAM event, Remote Area Medical, in Wise County this past weekend, where thousands of volunteers helped care for thousands of people from Appalachia. Ken, what are your thoughts about the healthcare debate going on, the politics of the healthcare debate now in Washington? Looks like it's going to be on hold for a few weeks, and both sides are going to start the PR war in earnest.
It may or may not be completely on hold because there's some political things going on in both the House and the Senate. First, let's remember part of the framing of this. If, in fact, Obama successfully got a health care policy through, which, you know, 75% of the American people seem to want something with a public option, that would be considered a huge political coup. The Republicans know that, and Republicans are looking back to 1994 when Clinton's attempt at health care had failed for a variety of reasons, and since that had been his top priority, the Republicans then took control. That was not the only reason, of the House and Senate, so they think that's what they should do now. When you have a sitting United States senator talking about that we're going to make health care Obama's Waterloo, it tells you part of the mindset of some people. There is complicated in this country because there are a large number of people whose jobs depend on the current structure of the health care system, in the insurance industry, for example. There are whole towns that do have their major employer is processing of insurance claims. There's a great deal of demagoguery that goes on. What is interesting is per capita, we spend more for health care than any other country in the world, and our coverage is the worst of anybody in the industrialized world. And for all the threats that people will talk about, oh, if you, the government's going to get involved in what happens with your medicine, I think many people might welcome that because right now it's the insurance companies that is making decisions for a lot of people. I know I've got very good health care, and I've had to deal with that. It is possible that some of the parliamentary maneuverings that are going on may get something, if not voted off the floor, at least through all the committees and onto the floor in the House and possibly in the Senate as well. It is still possible with some of the things that are going on that the House may actually vote out a bill today. They've been hesitant, not today, this week. They've been hesitant to do that because they don't want to have some of their more vulnerable members out there with the Senate not doing anything. but Nancy Pelosi has called a meeting for this afternoon of the entire House Democratic Caucus. And the one committee that's been the holdup in the House, the one chaired by Henry Waxman, which has a lot of pro-business types on it, they may bypass that committee and report the bill directly to the floor. The other two committees, I think, have passed it out. The Senate, the hang-up is in the Senate Finance Committee with Max Baucus, and that's a little bit more complicated.
Ken, I find it very interesting that it really doesn't fall down on stereotypical party lines, because not only are there conservative Democrats against it, but the business community is very much for health care reform, because they know, small-time business owners and big corporations know, that it's killing their bottom line, the money they have to put into health care for their employees. They would welcome, and have said so, they'd welcome some type of reform to control these skyrocketing costs.
The difference between GM making a car in the United States and making a car in Canada is around $1,500-$1,600 per car. The cost of that is health care, but it's not just current employees. It's the legacy health care of retirees and families of people who've passed on. Yes, that's an issue in a lot of small companies. Their pools are too small for them to be able, you know, one person gets six, the rate skyrockets. Another issue, and this one is, I think, also affects business people, they sometimes can't hire somebody because that person has, even though they're maybe offering him one and a half times as much money, because that person has coverage under his or her current plan, but they have a pre-existing condition, which means they would be excluded if they change jobs to the new insurer. Even if the insurance company is the same company, the new policy that they'd be under would allow them to be excluded. If we did nothing else except get rid of pre-existing conditions and broaden the insurance base, the pools that are being used, we could address a lot of the inequity that currently exists. I will note that this time the AMA, American Medical Association, is supporting, including with a public option. You have the Senior Citizens Organization, I'm blanking out on the name right now,
AARP,
supporting it, so that the landscape is very different this time than it was the last time. But there are also people, and this is true on any policy, who have philosophical objections to particular approaches, and they will fight. You will have some Democrats who will be very willing to have something that looks partially like a public option, as long as you don't call it a public option, because they're afraid of being accused of being socialist.
Ken Bernstein is the editor at BlueCommonwealth.com. Ken, we've run out of time, but always enjoy talking to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sure thing.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.